Welcome to Game On with Grace, where we're not just talking cricket wins and losses, we're talking off-field antics, guilty pleasures, and the drive that never quits. Hey everyone, it's Grace Hayden. Today we're talking to one of the most exciting young players shaping the future of cricket in the States. Sanjay Krishnamurthy has gone from a teenager dreaming in the stands at Oakland Coliseum to a rising star for Team USA and the San Francisco Unicorns, all while balancing college life and a computer science degree. From his breakout MLC performances to his vision for where American cricket can go next, this is a story of a new generation ready to make cricket a household sport in the US. Game on. Hey Sanjay, welcome to Game On with Grace. So stoked to have you on board. Now you're an up and coming USA cricket star. But before we get into all of that, I wanted to start with some Game On icebreakers. The aim is to just have a little bit of fun at the top of our podcast episode. So are you ready?
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I'm ready.
Ah, no, it's so nice to have you. Okay, let's do it. What's something completely non-cricket you're way too competitive about?
Ooh, pretty much any sports that I play with my friends, or board games too, like Settlers of Catan. Yeah.
Love it. So board games and sport, you just don't mess with you.
Yep.
Love it. Have you ever gone too far with trying to win something that absolutely didn't matter?
Definitely a lot of conflicts with my brothers over, you know, small rules and parents wanting take backs and there's no take backs. Yeah.
How many brothers have you got?
Got two younger brothers.
Nice. So who's the most competitive of the lot?
It's me. Yeah. But I compete with my youngest brother the most.
Okay. Right. So are they cricketers as well, or?
Both of them used to play cricket, but now they do other things. Yeah. One's trying to become a firefighter, and the other one is doing speech and debate.
Amazing. So growing up, were you the kid that rage quit, or were you the kid that just calmly came back and had a new strategy?
Probably the second option. Yeah, I didn't rage quit very often.
Fair. I was a rage quitter. Have you ever been caught cheating on a board game?
Not really. I always thought that if I won by cheating, it was less enjoyable.
Really? Monopoly, you wouldn't try and sneak a little bit of extra cash under the table?
Nah, not usually.
I usually
didn't need it.
Guilty. All right, last one. What's something that you're terrible at, but you still try and win anyway?
Anything drawing related, so like Pictionary.
Ah, interesting. I love it. Now it's time for a quick break. We'll be back with Human Behind the Hype up next. All right, let's move into our Human Behind the Hype. This is a segment where we really discover a little bit more about you, but away from the bright lights and the stats cards.
Yep.
I want to talk about how you grew up in Arizona, but then you moved to India, Bangalore, when you were 8 years old. What was that adjustment like at such a young age?
Yeah, I think I didn't really realize what was happening in a sense. Like, I knew we were moving to India, but I always loved our visits to India. But I think it didn't really sink in until after a year or two that, you know, we weren't going back to the States to my friends and stuff like that. Cricket was actually one of the things that helped the most, because I used to just play cricket in Arizona with my dad mainly. And then the opportunity, you know, on the very first day in India, I went downstairs in our apartment and there were a bunch of kids playing cricket, and I made friends immediately playing this sport that most people didn't know. So I think that was like one of the most exciting things of moving to India.
Absolutely. I mean, walking down the steps of your apartment building and being able to really, I guess, explore your craft in cricket and just enjoy it initially, and not just play with your dad, but play with new mates. And it probably helped you adjust a lot easier, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
When you then moved back to the US, was that then again another big adjustment for you?
Yeah, that was probably an even harder shift for me because I was 16 and yeah, I had left all of my childhood friends behind. I think the saving grace is that it was COVID, so I felt like even my friends weren't getting to see each other despite, you know, living nearby. So it was a hard time for everybody. So I think that was like what helped in a sense.
For you, what do you think the main lessons that you learn or things that really, I guess, have helped you going forward in life by shifting between different countries multiple times, different cultures, different countries? What sort of left a mark on you the most?
Yeah, I think I learned to be like to adjust and to be able to fit in wherever I am. Cause like, you know, you won't always, especially playing in new cricket teams with different cultures, it's hard to, you know, if somebody doesn't relate to you as easily, but you still need to go on the field and get it done. And I think in those social settings, I learned how to adjust because multiple times I was in, you know, cultures with people that I maybe didn't have too much in common with, but I learned to, you know, find the best in them and learn to get along. So I think that's what's helped me the most.
Absolutely. When you did move back to the States, did it ever cross your mind that you wanted to stay in India and potentially pursue maybe a career in the Indian cricket side, or were you always Team USA bound?
Yeah, so it was an interesting story because we came from India to the US just for a quick camp for USA cricket. They'd called a few US passport holders and I was just like, okay, let me see what this American cricket is all about. I'll go there for 2 weeks and then I'll come back and I'll continue my cricket in India, but I'll have that as an option, especially if I want to study in the US, which is what I was thinking. And then because of COVID, we couldn't go back to India and then we were stuck. And then my dad just, you know, applied and got a job in the US. So my whole family moved kind of, you know, unexpected last minute. So it was sort of, yeah, it was weird how the, you know, the chance to play for India or whatever was just like taken away by circumstances, not really by choice.
That's amazing, though. Like, I mean, I guess it would have been hard for you, it being taken away by choice, but then the result of that ending where you are now and the opportunity that you've, you know, been granted through really hard work and the passion for the sport, you must be really proud and your family must be really proud of you as well.
Absolutely, yeah. And during that time in India, you know, there were ups and downs and the amount of competition over there and the amount of pressure that I felt over there, I felt like I wasn't fully able to grow. And I think, yeah, the decision to move to the US in hindsight has worked out very well.
Talking about the pressure, do you think that if you did make the choice to stay in India and pursue maybe a slot in the Indian side, do you think the pressure would have been too much or you thrive under pressure?
Yeah, I don't know if I would have been able to express my natural game and find out the type of player that I am if I was still living there, because I feel like, yeah, I was more of a longer format days cricketer, and then I moved to the US and then I tried my hand at T20 cricket and found out that I think I'm actually a much better T20 player than longer format player. And yeah, just the way it's set up in India, I think you pretty much have to go all in from a young age. And with my family and my academic ability, I think it would have been difficult for me to do that. So yeah, I've thought about it quite a bit, but I think it worked out best the way it is.
Yeah, totally. And talking about your academic ability, I mean, you're studying computer science back in the US now. How do you balance it all? How do you balance being a professional cricketer and studying a very intense degree?
Yeah, it's getting harder and harder. Luckily, I do get some support from the university. They recognize my cricket and they give me a bit of leniency, but still, I still have to do the work and I still have to do the exams. So what I've been doing is just taking it a bit slower. I'm in my fifth year now and hopefully should finish my degree right around the end of this fifth year for a 4-year degree. Also, another thing that's helped is because of COVID, online, there's a lot of online options that weren't available before.
It's been game changing. I mean, like, I finished grade 12 in the COVID year when everything sort of ramped up. And looking back now, like, the amount that's changed since then in terms of technology, I mean, we're doing Zoom calls, for goodness sake. Like, that was never really a thing before COVID happened. And then we had to adapt and change our ways. And it's been, you know, hard, but for the better for so many different things.
Yeah, absolutely.
With computer science, where did that sort of come from? Where was that passion? I mean, cricket and computer science are two very different things. Where did the passion for the computer science side of you come from?
Yeah, so in 8th, 9th, and 10th grade in India, I competed in robotics, and our 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th, so 4 years, and out of which 3 years, we made the nationals, me and my best friend over there. And that involves building your robot, but also programming it. And that's where I learned programming. And I got, quite interested in that, in the programming aspect.
It's time for a quick word from our sponsors, where we'll be back right after the break for Sports Roundtable. Welcome back, everyone. It's time for Sports Roundtable, where we get into the world of cricket. I want to talk cricket again just quickly. You debuted in 2021 against Nepal. You were a reserve player initially, but you came in to substitute an injured Aaron Jones. Walk me through the day when you were told, when you got to the ground, when you stepped out onto the field and you were playing for your country. Were there any conversations that were had or any feelings that you were having when that moment first transpired?
Yeah, it was quite a whirlwind few days for sure, because I hadn't gotten picked in the original side. So I was back at home in the States, and then I woke up. Actually, we had come from St. Louis. We had like a minor league game, and I'd come back that night and then slept pretty early because of the time difference. And then I woke up to a WhatsApp message from, I think it was the then like chair of USA Cricket, saying, "Hey mate, are you ready to get on a flight to come to Oman to play for to play in the current series?" And I was just like shocked at first. You know, I had to almost rub my eyes. Okay, this is happening. And then I got a message from the manager saying, "We need a COVID test and we need it soon." And so then I had to find, you know, a local place that would give a quick COVID test to allow me to fly, got my visa, and I was out, I think, on the plane by 1 p.m. that day. And then, and then it was a long flight where I couldn't really tell anyone either. We weren't allowed to share that information other than my parents. And then, and then I got there, had one training day, and the next day I was out on the park against Nepal playing my debut ODI game. So that was quite special.
What was your parents' reaction?
Ooh, I think they were probably, they were really excited. My mom showed more excitement. My dad was more like, "Okay, what do we need to do? How do we get you on the flight?" And like, we can.
Logistics was dad, and then the excitement was mom. That sounds exactly like my family too.
Yeah.
But walk me through the excitement of your mom and the logistics of your dad. Did that make you stressed out, or did that make you more excited or put pressure on? Like, what was the emotions around that for you?
Even I was more leaning towards the logistics side of, you know, how do I get this done? And almost let me get my COVID test and get everything on the flight so that they can't take it away, in a sense. Like, I had that feeling that, like, you know, it's an uncertain time. Anything could happen. Yeah. Please test negative, you know, all these.
It's not real until it is real.
Yeah. And then almost like, I think the first time it sunk in was when I was in the check-in line at the airport. And I was like, wait, I'm going to play for the country. That's crazy.
so wild. And then when you get there, you have the training day, but then you rock up to the ground on game day. Walk me through that process.
Yeah.
You seem like you're a very chill guy.
Yeah. I think it was a few years ago, but if I remember, the coach told me that I'd be playing the previous day. So I was, which again, I didn't expect. I thought, you know, a replacement player, I'd have a game to see what international cricket's about and then maybe get into the side. But yeah,
throwing
I was in
straight
the
into the deep end.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I think, yeah, on game day, I wasn't thinking anything too much. I was just, yeah, I'm going to do my processes. I remember the highlight was definitely hitting Sandeep Lamichani for a six. And that was, you know, close to his prime. I was 18 and I was like, yeah, that's pretty cool.
I am that guy.
Yeah. But then we lost. And at the end of the day, it was, I felt like international cricket isn't as high of a jump up as I thought it would be.
Really? That's such an interesting observation. Why do you think that?
I think, yeah, even now, the quality of associate cricketers, like, nobody is going to blow you away. It's just they're very good at the basics. And that's what I've learned from the last few years of observing and playing in associate cricket. That, that's just my main takeaway, is that nobody is that great. They're just all good at the basics. So yeah, skill wise I felt like I was already there at 18
for sure. When you look at what you've done so young and then also where you want to go, where is the goal that you want to reach?
Well, first of all, yeah, the opportunity to play in a World Cup is as exciting as it gets. But down the line, I think playing leagues around the world, and ultimately, if there's an opportunity to play in the IPL, you know, go back as an international player to the league that I dreamt of playing as a domestic player. Now that would be really cool.
Have you got an IPL side that you're aspiring to get into?
Absolutely. RCB. I've been an RCB supporter since, I want to say day one, but I was probably too young on day one, but at least from the second season onwards, I've been an RCB supporter. And yeah, winning the title this year was incredible.
I was just going to say, you would have been a very happy man seeing the trophy being lifted up by RCB this year.
Yeah, it was 2 days after my birthday and I said, that's the perfect birthday.
Birthday wish is complete.
Yep.
I hope you wished on that day that you'll make it into the RCB auction side.
Yeah, I know. I can't. If that would be a dream come true.
Put it on the vision board.
Yeah.
But talking about leagues, I mean, MLC has been something that's really popped up and we've seen it grow so much. And I know for a fact that so many cricketers, also commentators, absolutely love the tournament. Talk to me about, you know, how you've seen it unfold over the last few years.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I first came to the US in 2020 for that camp, there was, you know, we had spoken to Samir, who had, you know, is heading up the idea of MLC. And, you know, at that point, it was just an idea. It was something that would be amazing if it happened, but it wasn't certain. And then, you know, over the next few years, minor league started to happen. And then once the first season of Major League happened, and I think the moment we realized how big it was going to be the first moment was when we saw that these major IPL franchises were buying in. And then, yeah, seeing the level of international players that had signed up, you know, players like Bach Duplessis, like Rashid Khan. And when we saw that we were going to play alongside these players, that's when I think all the domestic players were like, whoa, it's getting real now, you know? And seeing the way it's grown over the course of these 3 years, this year playing at the Oakland Coliseum, especially, you know, my home crowd was really, really special.
Have you got a favorite moment?
I think, yeah, my favorite moment was from season two when I scored 79 not out against Washington Freedom to help us win that game from, you know, a pretty unwinnable position. And
so it was all you. You were Team Carrie.
Well, again, we had a lot of great contributions from the other guys.
You were allowed to be a little bit like, yeah, it was me. It was me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was the player of the match, but there were other
Okay, so it was you. Yeah, you're actually humble all the time. Did you brag to your mates at least?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think the stat, I don't like to brag, but like, yeah, the stats itself were my bragging. And then the fact that we won also is special because, yeah, I think when you play a great knock in a losing cause, it never feels as good. But that was pretty cool.
Absolutely. Talk to me about, you know, your friends that you're studying with at university over in America. Do they understand what cricket is? Have you had to have multiple conversations going, okay, let me explain to you the game of cricket?
Yeah, I used to try more. Now I'm just like, you know, just look at my Instagram and you'll figure out what it is.
As brutal as that.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, I've had so many people say, you know, oh, you play cricket. Is that the one with the little mallets in the and the ball in the backyard, you know, thinking it's croquet?
Oh,
and I've gotten,
no.
Yeah, I've gotten some, yeah, some shocking responses to cricket. But then I think in general, it is starting to grow. The understanding for cricket is starting to grow here in the US. I think us beating Pakistan in the World Cup got it a bit of news.
Huge.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that definitely helped. And, you know, now I was able to invite a few of them to come to the Coliseum to watch the Major League game. And then I think that's when they realized that what I'm doing is actually kind of cool.
Kind of cool. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, even for me, like I remember I was flying to the World Cup, but I was doing the Caribbean games. But you guys had just beaten Pakistan. And I flew into New York and the customs guy said to me, oh, Grace, what are you here in New York for? I said, oh, I'm only staying for the night. And then I fly out the next morning to the Caribbean. I'm working on the cricket. And he went, oh, cricket. Yeah, I know what that is. I'm like, whoa, that's wild that I'm in customs in New York of all cities. Like, you just wouldn't expect someone to know about our game. Yeah. And that was like a real, okay, I think cricket is starting to break into a little bit of sporting news here in the US.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you run into circumstances like that a lot?
Yeah, there's varying responses. I think you expect the Indian and, you know, the South Asian community to know what cricket is. But when you hear somebody who, yeah, from a different community who you wouldn't expect to say something like that, to know what cricket is, that's when it's pretty cool.
Your style in play I want to talk about now. You possess a lot of power. You're known as a little bit of a finisher, as you just mentioned. One of your favorite moments in MLC was, I guess, player of the match moment, against Washington. But where did that real power hitting, skill sort of come into your game? Did you work on it in any particular way to try and go, okay, I want to adapt my game into really focusing in on this?
Yeah, so that's a great question because at the age of 16, like I said, when I came over to this country, I was a long format cricketer, you know, known for just hitting the ball along the ground, never hits the ball in the air. And where I've come now, 5 years or 6 years later, is a completely different place. And I think, I credit it to a few things. First of all, my coach in India right before I left told me, okay, if you're playing limited overs cricket, you got to just play fearlessly and try swinging the bat a little bit more. And then during COVID with my dad, I used to, you know, hit tennis balls at, you know, an abandoned baseball field over here in middle of nowhere, Arizona. And then I think what I'd say helped me the most and when it really changed was working with a baseball coach. At the age of 17, Yeah, I did like 8 one-on-ones with the baseball coach on hitting technique. And, you know, he tried telling him that I'm not trying to become a baseball player, but I'm trying to take aspects from baseball into cricket. So I understood a lot of the rotational power, which in cricket we're very used to high elbow linear power. And yeah, once you get that rotational aspect, you can generate a lot more power. And then just, yeah, over the course of the next 3 years, 4 years, just working on that swing a lot and trying to put on a bit of muscle at the gym as well. And
Bulking season.
yeah, I spent an entire winter of like 2 months where I didn't hit a cricket ball, but I was in the gym or running every single day.
Wow.
And I think that really helped me. Yeah.
You know, it's funny because the Australian side used to work with a baseball coach back in the day when Dad used to play. And the fact that you've gone, okay, I recognize that this is something that my game needs. How did you really get inspired to want to work with a baseball coach? Did anyone tip you off to wanting to do that, or was that just something that you worked out on your own that this is maybe something I need and I want to adapt my game in this kind of way?
Yeah, so one of my coaches back in India had said, "Hey, if you're in the US, you know, you'll probably get it was, you know, he was just a normal high school baseball coach. He's not like, you know, the most I guess, yeah, the highest up of baseball coaches, but even that level of baseball coach knows so much more than, you know, most of the highest level of cricket power hitters just because you know, power hitting is not new to the baseball game. It's quite old versus it's quite new to the cricket." And yeah, he told me to try to work with him and see what you can get out of it. And yeah, again, it was just 8 sessions, but I understood a lot more how to generate power.
Power, yeah, for sure. So it was your coach back in India that said, I think you should look into this baseball.
Yeah. He's like,
Ah.
"Well, you're in the States, why not?"
Wow, it's so true. Okay, so I want to know, was there a particular moment where you sort of look back and go, okay, cricket's really happening in the US?
Yeah, I think it's season one of Major League,
Yeah,
because
okay.
yeah, before that it was still I'm studying, you know, even playing for the US is cool. We still hadn't played in any World Cup at really at that point. And but after the first season of Major League, that's when I first thought, "Whoa, this is an option, you know, this is professional cricket." Yeah.
Cricket's also entering a new era. Believe it or not, it's entering into the Olympics in LA for the very first time. Surely that's fuel to the fire of achieving that goal and making the US side in that aspect.
Absolutely, yeah. I think, there's a few goals before that, such as, you know, the ODI World Cup in 27 and the T20 World Cup in 26. But the Olympics is something that, you know, transcends all sports, and that's something that the entire USA, you know, community gets behind. So that, yeah, and the fact that we're host nations, and I believe we've or automatically qualified. Although I'm not 100% certain on that, but yeah, that just makes this Olympics a really special cycle, and yeah, absolutely would love to participate in that.
Are you the type of guy that would get the Olympic rings tattooed somewhere on you, or would mum and dad kill you?
Yeah, I mean, if there's a tattoo that I would want to get, it would want to be something like that. I'm
So
not
you
sure.
do
We'll
it?
have to. We'll have to see down the line. We'll have to see. But yeah,
Say
I'm just.
you made the side, right? You're in the
Yeah.
side, you're playing, happy days. Would you get it before or after, or would you get it at all?
Yeah, we'll see. I'm just saying, if I were to get a tattoo, it would be something
It'd be
like that.
that.
Yeah.
Fair. I think that's play on. Was there anyone that was a cricketing hero for you growing up?
Yeah, AB de Villiers, you know, played for RCB, and just watching him bat is, yeah, it's so beautiful in the eyes, the way he would play 360 and win games. I still think that he's like the complete batter.
Totally. It was just a star to watch. Is there a favorite athlete outside of cricket that you love?
Ooh, I think similar, it's like Lionel Messi. I feel like he's a similar level of genius to AB de Villiers, where it's not really replicable.
Yeah.
You know, whereas other players might, you know, you through hard work and through their dedication, you think it's replicable. But those two, it's just like you're special, and it's amazing to watch. Yeah.
Totally. It's time for a quick break, but we'll be back with a brand new segment. We're going to get into a little bit of fun now. I've pestered you enough with the deep questions. You got to have a little bit of a back and forth with me now, okay?
Okay.
Okay, great. So this is a new segment. It's completely altered to you. It's called Control Alt Debunk.
Okay.
Now, this is where we tie in your computer science studies, but it's kind of like a hot take, and then you give me your first reaction.
Okay.
All right. Coding should be taught in every elementary school.
Agree.
Okay.
Sure. Wait, am I supposed to say one of those two words?
Well, yeah, agree. Sure. That's cool. Fine. Do you want to say why?
Yeah, I think that nowadays coding is very helpful. Of course, AI is starting to take over, but I think it's one of the essential skills that you should learn at a young age. More essential than, I think, world history or something like that.
AI will one day call third umpire decisions better than humans.
I think it already could. So yes, definitely agree.
Data analytics should determine a batting order.
Ooh, this I'm on the fence about, because I think that we don't collect enough data in cricket yet to be able to see everything. But I think once it got to a baseball level of data collection, then I'd agree.
Really?
Yeah.
And do you see cricket going in that direction of the same level of data collection as baseball?
Yeah, I could see that in 10 to 15 years. It's already getting there.
Yeah. Players should have a wearable tech providing real-time stats during games.
Oh, agree. I wear my Whoop, so yeah, I think it's helpful.
Yeah, I think some players even wear stuff on their like back and
yeah, the catapult stuff.
Yeah, MLC will become a top three T20 league in the next 10 years.
Agree. Hopefully, I think
it's gonna be massive.
I already think that it's like a top 5-6. League in the world
for sure. Yeah. I mean, IPL is obviously the pinnacle, then you've got PSL, CPL, now SA20, Big Bash, like MLC, they all come into the same sort of frame of mind.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm definitely missing some there, but yeah, they're the sort of ones that come straight to your head. VR cricket training will replace net sessions.
I don't think so. I tried in VR recently and I got dizzy and yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It was a bike thing. It wasn't a cricket thing.
Cricket. But
yeah. I still think you need to feel the ball on the bat. You can't just,
you can't simulate that
through VR.
Clutch finishing is more instinct than technique.
Well, it depends on what you do, but I'll overall say agree that, yeah, it's about whether you can connect and hit the sixes.
Okay, let's give you a hypothetical. Yeah. It's the last over. You need 12.
Yeah.
Instinct or technique?
Instinct. Yeah.
All right. Cricket at the Olympics will change everything for sport in the US.
I don't agree. I don't think it's going to be that big. I think think because of the number of sports that exist at the Olympics, I think cricket will get eyes. But I already think that stuff like Major League is probably playing a bigger role.
One more quick break and we'll be back to wrap up the show. Okay, we're going to head into the next segment, which is called Final Whistle, and then we'll wrap things up.
Sounds good.
Okay, what is the best piece of advice you've ever gotten from a coach?
Play fearlessly.
Okay.
Quite simple.
Which teammate would you want on your trivia team?
Ooh, probably Nastush Kenjige.
Why?
Just because I feel like he knows a lot of stuff and he's a quite well-rounded person. He's good at sports and he's funny. I think I'd go for him.
Cricketing superpower you wish you had?
Ooh, I think like the ability to know what the bowler was thinking.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's one cricket moment you wish you could relive?
The final of season 2 of MLC. Wait, relive? You don't mean rewind or relive?
Relive.
Okay, so I can't change it. Then it's probably that game against Washington Freedom in the earlier in that
moment.
Season. Yeah.
Okay. Dream teammate from any era. Who are you picking and why?
AB de Villiers.
Why?
Because he's so good. And I would love to see how he trains, see how he prepares, and just hang out.
Yeah. Would you be starstruck or would you come with a billion questions?
Okay, I'd probably be starstruck at first, but if I have him for a long enough season, then I'd open up.
Yeah. What's your go-to karaoke song?
Ooh, I think Fast Car. The Luke Combs version.
Yeah, good song. I like it. What's your most used emoji?
Thumbs up. I know my...
You are such a thumbs up guy. I could read that from a mile away. What do you think mine is?
Ooh. Maybe like the crying laughing.
That and this one. I love like
the heart.
But like the,
the hand heart.
I love that one. And the crying laughter. Yep.
Yeah.
You got me. Hidden talent no one knows about.
Well, I'm pretty good at chess online. I don't know how many people know about that. Yeah.
So what do you mean by pretty good?
Pretty good. I'm top 1% on chess.com. So it's like around 1800 for those of you who know what that is. Yeah.
So how many games have you played?
Oh, probably thousands. Yeah.
Is that just your bus trip out to the ground kind of pastime?
No, I'm serious about my rating, so I can't play on the phone. So I have to have my mouse and my laptop.
Wow. You got a full chest setup.
Yep, yeah.
Don't mess with you, Sanjay. what's the weirdest superstition you've ever seen in cricket?
Ooh, okay. I think I've seen a teammate who, after we won one game, he was wearing the same socks every single game.
Wow, that's dedication. Yeah.
He said he washed them, but some of them were back-to-back games, so I don't know how he got that done. Yeah.
Are you superstitious?
I'm not superstitious. I think I have certain routines, though. Like, I think a lot of gear, it has to be particular, because... Like, for example, in one of the games, it was like the USAA versus Scotland, and I hit 160 with my helmet. And then I got into the main team for the next game, and they gave me a USA helmet, and it was by a different brand, and I wasn't as comfortable. And then first ball, I didn't see it as well, and I got out, and I got out for a golden duck. So then the next game, I said, I don't care. I'm taping up my old helmet, and I'm playing with that. And then I got like 49. So I think it's like the gear is very particular to me.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. If you can control the controllables, why not?
Yeah.
Okay, do you believe in luck?
Yeah, luck is very important in cricket because sometimes you can be playing amazing and one false shot, you know, one wrong decision and you're gone. And other days, you know, you may nick it, umpire doesn't give it, and you go on to score. So,
what's the luckiest moment in your career?
Oh, well, I'd say one of the luckiest moments was being bowled off a no ball in MLC. Yeah.
It's nice when that happens. It's happened a couple of times in ILT 20, not going to lie, this tournament. The batter's walked off. Tim David, actually, it happened to the other day.
Yeah.
No ball, walked off, had to come back on, and then he got, I don't know, 50 odd or something.
Yeah.
Just
good feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. Just another extra life.
Yeah, and then you get to start with the free hit too.
Mm-hmm.
How good.
Not bad. Your favorite song?
Ooh, okay. It's hard to narrow it down to one, but it might be like Slow Dancing in a Burning Room by John Mayer.
Oh, yeah. Good song as well. You got nice music taste. All right, final one, and then we're wrapping things up.
Okay.
If you could swap lives with any athlete around the world, any sport, for the day only, who would it be and why?
Okay, I would love to see how somebody like Cristiano Ronaldo or LeBron James, let's go LeBron James, seeing the amount of recovery stuff he does and how like one of the top of the line athletes trains and recovers and eats, I think that would be pretty cool.
For sure. Oh, well, thank you so much, Sanjay. It's been so nice to hear your story. Being from Arizona initially, traveling to India, and then now back in the US playing for the USA cricket team. You must be super proud. It's been so nice to hear your story and just unpack you a little bit deeper for all of our audience of Game On with Grace. So thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I loved it.
That's all for this episode of Game On with Grace. I hope you enjoyed the chat with Sanjay. If you love this conversation, make sure you hit the follow button, subscribe, and tell all your friends about this podcast. We've got so many more amazing, legendary guests, hilarious debates, big stories coming your way. So stay tuned. I'm Grace Hayden, and until next time, keep competitive.